for a few minutes now on persevering in prayer, because prayer takes perseverance, doesn't it? It's not, for most of us, it's not something that comes particularly naturally. I know some people it does, and you love to pray. I'm someone that has to really persevere with that. It doesn't come naturally to me. And so hopefully this morning will be helpful for all of us. But after I've done that, we're going to take a time to pray. I said at the beginning, it's been a significant week in our world, and there's so much to pray for, isn't there? And also in personally, you know, we've all got people, and even in our personal lives, that there are things that we want to be praying about. And this morning we're going to stand together and do that, and spend some time in worship as we close our service today. So I'm going to speak a little bit from Luke chapter 18 this morning. And Dave Mitchell came last week from Woodlands, and he also spoke from the very same passage, but I'm going to do it better. No, I'm not really. I'm going to correct him. No, I'm not. I think it's okay, actually, that we're visiting the same parable again. I think that's a really good thing, because this parable has actually got so much to say. So if you've got a Bible and you want to turn to it, if not, it will appear on the screen. And it's this parable that Jesus tells of a persistent widow. So here we go. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones, who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?'" Okay. Right. That's such an interesting parable by Jesus. He starts his parable, or this parable, this section starts with Luke writing, "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up." And I think it's important first to say, Jesus isn't saying, if you persevere, things will get easier. He's definitely not saying that, because this actually precedes the worst situation they could imagine. The journey to Jerusalem and to the cross, where Jesus would be crucified and his disciples would be scattered. And that he would rise again, but that then would follow a time of persecution for the disciples, in which many of them would lose their lives. So he's not saying, persevere because it will all get better immediately. And a little forward about prayer. This parable also isn't in isolation from the rest of Jesus' teaching. We've got to take this parable in the context of everything else Jesus says about prayer. It'd be easy to read this and think, okay, so whatever I want, I just pray about and keep praying about and keep praying about. Kind of like a kid that just keeps going, please, 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 can I have it, please. And it would be easy to think that Jesus is saying that. But in the context of Jesus' teaching on prayer, his teaching on prayer is about God's kingdom coming on earth, about all the goodness that God dreams for our world of justice, love, joy, peace, about those things coming to earth. The prayer he taught his disciples to pray said, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And so we've got to see Jesus' teaching here in context, that it's more than ask for whatever you want and I'll make your life more comfortable. It's not that. It's praying for God's will, God's kingdom, God's justice to be done on earth. So, this parable starts with, it's about an issue of injustice. What do we do when we encounter something that isn't right? When the world's not as it should be for us or for a friend or for a people group in our world, what's our response to injustice, prejudice, inequality? This parable is about one such situation. And it's really interesting for me, reading this parable, that Jesus chooses a situation to teach on prayer. And he paints this picture of a completely hopeless situation. Have you noticed that about this parable? This is seemingly just completely hopeless. And the way he does that is this. He says, in a certain city, there was a judge. So a judge holds people's fate in his hands. He gets to choose the outcome of a case, of a situation. And it says he neither feared God nor had respect for the people. If you're coming to a judge, ideally, you want them to be compassionate. That's the ideal, a compassionate, humane judge. Failing that, you want a fair judge, just a judge that's going to, you know, see that justice is done. So to come to a judge that doesn't fear God, so you can't appeal to God's justice. In fact, he's almost set himself up as God. He doesn't fear God. I make the decisions around here. And he doesn't care about people, so you can't appeal to his humanity. So Jesus painted the picture of the worst possible combination of things here in this judge. Then who should come? In that city, there was a widow who kept coming to him. A widow. A widow, the classic symbol of the most vulnerable in society. And a little side note here. I find this so interesting that Jesus chooses a woman to be the one he teaches about prayer. The one we should emulate is a woman. Huge in the context of this society. Because have you noticed that in his other teaching on prayer, he slates the religious male hierarchy, those leaders, and says, don't be like them. They babble on, they want to do it for show, all that sort of stuff. He chooses a female, not just a female, but the most vulnerable kind of female. She's the hero of the story, the one we should emulate. And so many of Jesus' stories are like that. This situation's hopeless because a widow to come to the courts tells us something. It tells us that she was completely and utterly alone. In that culture, women didn't go to the courts. Men went to the courts. Men went on behalf of women. So she doesn't have an uncle or a brother or a cousin. She Jesus is saying she's got no one. She's gone completely alone. She's got no resources, no reputation. She can't bribe this judge. She's got nothing. Am I making it clear that this is a hopeless situation? I don't know whether you've ever faced a situation that felt completely hopeless. I think we probably all do at some point, don't we? It might not be like this, but a situation where you just think, on a human, worldly level, there's nothing that can be done here. I just don't know what to do. And I want to ask, what do we do in those moments? Where do we turn? When we feel alone, when we feel like we've run out of options and resources, and when things just aren't as they should be. What do we do? Well, what does the widow do? This lady. She has one option. She has one weapon in her armory, and she uses it. And it's her voice. It's her, and boy, does she use it. It's her relentless, persistent pleas, or prayers, we could say. She comes to the judge and she pleads again and again and again. And I think that in this parable, Jesus is choosing someone who, because they have no other option, this is all they can do. So he's saying, when you face a situation that isn't right, that isn't just, where God's kingdom isn't on show, when it isn't at work in the world, you respond with raw, persistent prayer. That's the bottom line. That's where we begin. And I find that a real challenge because my instinct is to turn to my own resources. It's to turn to other people and that's really important, and we're a body. But the bottom line is we're called to faith and prayer. So I want to propose that the widow here is taking a radical third option. When she turns to prayer, a radical third option that we are called to when we face injustice. The first option is, and it's in the first line of this parable where Luke writes, he told them a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. So I think the first option is giving up. It's to lose heart. In another translation it says, and not lose heart. That's always an option, isn't it? To lose heart. To accept our fate. Or to wallow in the injustice or the way things are that shouldn't be. That's a temptation we all face. When we look at the world and we think, what can we do? It's a temptation to do that, or just to criticize and to judge. Another option there is that in losing heart, we might collude, that we say, oh, well, if you can't beat them, join them. And actually, that's a real option in religious circles. A lot of the religious elite at the time of Jesus, when faced with injustice, they colluded with the people that were... So the Romans who came and sort of ruled at that time over Israel in that area, some of the religious elite colluded with them because they couldn't beat them, so they joined them. Not all, but some. So that's the first thing. The second thing, and I think Jesus chooses a widow in this situation because she can't do this, is to seek her own brand of justice. Face an injustice and bring your own injustice. And again, a real option for a lot of people, and particularly in religious circles. Other religious groups faced the injustice of some of what was going on with the Roman Empire by seeking to overthrow it, but violently. And violence, if you know anything about violence, violence doesn't end violence. Violence always, always breeds violence. Maybe not straight away, but it sows the seeds for further violence down the line. As soon as that person gets stronger again, violence breeds violence. It's a cycle and it's a circle. And this widow couldn't do that. And I really believe that that is partly why Jesus chose a widow in this situation, because she didn't have resources to do that. And so she takes a third way of pleading her cause, even if it is to an unjust judge. She refuses to lose heart. She cannot seek vengeance. So she lifts her voice in cries for justice. The reason I say that is because Jesus says, pray when you pray. And I want you to think about the situations we're facing in our world right now. Your kingdom come, your will be done. There's a few things to say on that. The first is that that is an act of faith. You know, at the end of the parable it says, will the Son of Man find faith on the earth? This is an act of faith and trust. It's saying, I'm not going to lose heart, but I'm not going to try and do it all my own way. I'm going to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. And I'm going to join with you, God, in trying to see that. So when we to persist in prayer, I know this is so true for me, to persist in prayer, I have to have a vision of how things could be. And that vision is the kingdom of God. And that's why it's so important that we meet as church, that we study the scriptures, so we know what does it look like when God's kingdom is here. And we've got to hold on to that vision. That's why it's great to pray the Lord's Prayer. Hold on to that vision of how things could be. You know, When you're learning something new and you've got to persevere with it, I did this before. I've got to play a song at my sister-in-law's wedding, and it requires a really specific way of playing the guitar, a picking pattern. I'd never learnt picking patterns before. I always just go, dun, dun, you know, just random notes. So to learn a pattern was completely new to me. And I started and I thought, I nearly gave up because I thought, this is impossible. I can't do it. I was watching YouTube videos and it just felt impossible. But I kept listening to the track and I kept in mind what I wanted to play. And I needed that vision almost. It's a poor example. But when you're persevering, you've got to have a vision, haven't you, of what the end result is. Otherwise, you will give up. And that's, I think, part of what Jesus is saying when he tells us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. The second thing I want to say on this is that to persevere is to suffer. To persevere in prayer, it means to suffer. And that is really hard to take because we don't live in a world that actually, you know, we really try and insulate ourselves from suffering, don't we? We don't like to think of suffering or talk about suffering or anything like that. But suffering is an unavoidable part of the human experience. And if we don't talk about it and process it and perhaps even embrace it, then it will get the better of us. Anyone who perseveres suffers. The widow here, she's a picture of someone who suffers. She has no one. She has no resources. Then, in her injustice, she suffers setback after setback after setback. You know, it's January, and so this is the month where, by the end of this month, I was reading some statistics on this, but there was nothing credible to tell you because everything you read says something different. But basically, by the end of this month, millions of people will have made and then failed at New Year's resolutions. Has anyone in this room made a New Year's resolution? You don't have to tell us what it is. Yeah. Are you still going with it? Yeah. Great. Excellent. 100% record at Alma, which is great news. I'm still going with mine too. But why do people break them? It's for loads of reasons, but one reason is that to persevere is to suffer. Because it's hard and painful. It's hard to get up at 6 in the morning and go for that run. It's hard to resist that thing that you desperately want to eat, to kick that habit, to start that new habit. It's hard. It takes, you suffer. Even in learning a picking pattern, you suffer. You're frustrated when you can't do it. You're trying to learn something new. On a really menial, whatever scale, it's suffering to persevere. But it's through suffering that we learn to persevere and that we grow. Some words from the Apostle Paul in Romans, who knew all about it, didn't he? He's someone that had a vision of God's kingdom and suffered for it, but didn't see that suffering as wasted. This is what he says about it. He says, "We boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope." And he goes on to say, "And hope does not disappoint." And there are so many strong images of this in the Bible. You can probably think of some now. But one I read this week was Jacob. Jacob wrestles with God. And it's a really strange passage when you read it. And I still find it strange having read commentaries and stuff like that. But Jacob is one of the Old Testament heroes, really. And he meets this person who, on reflection, it says he's wrestled with God, and he wrestles with this man that he meets from evening till morning, and he says, "I'm not going to let you go until you bless me." And it's kind of this parallel to prayer. And eventually, he comes out of it with a limp. He gets wounded in this wrestle for the blessing, and that's a real sort of in Jewish teaching, that's such a significant thing, that Jacob wrestled with God and he got the blessing, but he suffered. Jesus in Gethsemane, as on his way to the cross, has to persevere through suffering. And he doesn't persevere to a point where he gets what he wants, actually. He says, if this can be taken from, if I don't have to go through this, please, but not my will, but yours be done. He perseveres, he suffers. But ultimately, he's victorious. In the book of James, James writes, anyone who meets a testing challenge head on and manages to stick it out is mighty fortunate. For such persons, loyal in love with God, the reward is life and more life. It's that paradox of Jesus' message that life is found through losing it. It's through loss, actually. It's through suffering. Anyone that wants to find life, got to take up their cross and follow me. So when we persevere in prayer, we will suffer. Actually, we will. It will be hard. But to pray requires perseverance through suffering. It's to be on the front line of forgiveness. To forgive is to suffer. To stand for justice is to suffer. It's a cheerful sermon this morning, isn't it? I want to close with one more thing. And it's an encouragement, really, that actually it is hard to persevere, because when we come to pray, our prayers can feel so feeble. When we come to pray in a moment, we're going to be praying for some big things, and it can feel so feeble, our prayers. What difference does this even make? Turn to this parable. This has spoken to me in such a new way reading this parable this week. This poor widow, imagine the first time she comes to this judge. Imagine the response. She brings this request. I imagine he hardly hears it, swats it away. It's such a feeble, who's this woman? No, you can't go. She comes back, second, third time. I imagine it's the same sort of thing. When she's come back maybe the 100th time, the 100th time is probably just as feeble as the first time. But there's 100 feeble prayers now. There's 100 feeble pleas, and they build up, and they make a difference. And it's the same with our prayers, that they might feel feeble, but these things make a difference. They build up. And it's not just the praying, because it's not just about what difference that makes to God, although I feel like God hears our prayers the first time, you know? That's part of this message. If she has to come to him all these times, imagine how God responds to us, our loving Heavenly Father. Because he's not like this judge. But what that does in us when we persist in prayer, when we persist in seeking God's kingdom, and I think that's partly what this is all about. If we don't persist in prayer for God's kingdom to come, what will our lives be like? Whose kingdom will we be seeking? I know for me that when I don't persist in prayer, actually, I end up going about my day for my will to be done. You know, Simon's kingdom come. But to persist in prayer is kind of that marriage of me joining with God in seeking his kingdom coming. So the culmination of each feeble prayer was greater than the sum of its parts. Again, learning to play a new piece on the guitar. Each session wasn't great, but the culmination of all that practice brought about the goal. Jesus says at the end, if this poor woman, this poor widow, gets justice from this despot, how much more will God ultimately bring justice to those who cry out to him day and night? He's a good parent, not a capricious judge. So I'd like to take for us to take some time in prayer this morning. And like I said, there's so much to pray for. And the way we're going to do it is Okay, so feel free to engage with this as much or as little as you want to. But I'd like us to pray for three different things this morning. And I've got three different areas of the church that we can pray in. Or you can stay where you are and pray where you are. That's fine too. But the reason I've done a few stations this morning, the reason I've done that is because I had this picture of this widow approaching the judge, coming before him. And I felt this morning, wouldn't it be great if we had that opportunity to step out from where we are, to move and come before God with these prayers. If you don't want to do that, or you don't feel comfortable doing that, or you just want to pray in your seat, that is fine also. So over here, it's just a table with just a couple of pieces of paper on it. And I can't even remember what I've put on this one. But yeah, this table is about all the stuff that's going on politically. In the US, the EU, Brexit, and I've got Psalm 46 on there too to look at. And if you feel like that's on your heart, that resonates with you this morning, let's stand together over there and pray. At the back there, you know, we hear about stuff that's going on in Syria, and sometimes it gets bumped off the front pages for presidential elections and Brexit and things like that. But that is, oh my word, what is going on there? I read this week about the escalation in things in Crimea, Russia and the Ukraine. Not even on at the top of the headlines, but crazy stuff that needs our prayers and many other things. And then over there, just at the back by the hat stand, I've just put one simple thing, and it's a prayer for healing, for anyone that you know of or yourself, and we want to pray for people to be healed. I've mentioned my friend Rachel Riddle, who's at Woody's, and was supposed to be coming in 2 weeks' time, but she can't come now. She's developed a cancer on her leg, and you know that's a situation that people are persistently praying for her. And if you'd like prayer for healing, then also go to that table this morning. So I think I've said enough, probably. I'm just going to put another verse on the screen as we go into this time. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Okay. Please don't feel under any pressure, but if you would like to, we're going to put a little music track on in the background, and I'm just going to give 3, 4, 5 minutes. We'll see how it goes. And if in that time you'd like to go to one of the stations and pray, please do. And I'm just going to open this time with a short prayer. Lord, teach us to be persistent. Not to accept things the way they are. Not to collude with injustice. But not to seek our own brand of justice. Lord, help us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. To embrace the suffering that we must go through in order to ultimately seek your blessing and be victorious. Amen. We give this time to you.